I love that I didn't have headphones on. So I was going to record you too. Why not?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 267 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my currently ill friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, or as I like to call this, your sadcore anti-repressants, back for another year of podcasting.
You sound like you do some cold medicine, not antidepressants.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
You know, but I could have done this whole intro differently. I could have compared this to Jesus and John Lennon, but I thought that's probably best not, for many different reasons, for us to go down that route.
Well, yeah, I hope neither of us gets executed. Oh, no, it's both of them. Never mind. Yes, this week's guest is the fantastic Rory. Where do we start with Rory? A brilliant, brilliant musician, but an even better inspiration for people like myself with the ADHD or people who are neurodivergent. She has been a shining light in the last couple of years online, on social media, opening people's eyes to life with ADHD and such. It's been a big help in my journey with it so far, like since I've 100% realized I've definitely got it. We jumped at the chance to have Rory on. We've wanted to do this for quite some time. And there was a moment where we nearly had Rory on the Blackout Tour in February.
Oh.
Mm.
For a podcast is what's happened instead. Yeah.
Yes.
No, but honestly, Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you're well.
Oh, yeah.
It's better sounding than I am. So we wanted to start the first podcast of 2024 with an artist that we can guarantee you are going to be seeing a lot of over the next 12 months, as well as all this amazing work with ADHD Love, with a partner on TikTok that you can go and check out. Roxanne Emery, or Rory, has been dominating this emo and pop punk scene over the last couple of years, connecting with so many people through her lyrics and music, and releasing a new EP, Family Drama, at the end of 2023. She's going to be performing at Slam Dunk Festival, Download in the summer, and going to be heading out on her own headline tour in February. And listen, These lyrics are just so very personal. There's so many artists in the world that we all love that you can kind of interpret it into whatever you want, but it's just being a whole different story with Rory. After being in the scene for so many years, behind the scenes in different elements, different jobs, and writing some massive hits for some pop and dance artists.
Yes. I know a lot of people are going to be thinking, well, this Rory's come from nowhere. But really, they've been working very, very hard behind the scenes for many a year. And now we're getting a chance to see what they're capable of and the brilliance that they can come up with. So again, thank you very much for Rory for giving us your time. Thank you very much to Mark Walker, Rory's manager, for letting us do this. And yeah, what a fantastic, fantastic, inspiring chat. I literally went and bought her book straight after this. I'm halfway through now and so much of it rings true to me. It's terrifying. It's scary.
Ooh, well, that's the thing. Hopefully this conversation helps a lot of people just realize some stuff and have some laughs of the music industry and everything else in between. But before we go straight into the conversation, just a little reminder, if you want to help this podcast continue for another year in 2024, please go and support us via our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. If you sign up there for one of the reward tiers, it helps us so much and you get included into a community of people who are the best ever. I got to hang out with a bunch of them in a small sweaty room in Merthyr Tydfil this last week, watching Shaun and the Blackout play their birthday bash end of year extravaganza before you go out on tour in February as well.
Yes, it was a fantastic show at the Scala. I think a lot of people are ill because a lot of people, it was sold out, chock-a-block, very, very warm, very, very energetic. So a lot of breathing went on, a lot of sweating went on. So I'd imagine that's where a couple of people have got ill. But yeah, thank you very much if you came to that show. What a brilliant show. We had a lot of fun. I think the crowd had a lot of fun from all the smiles on the faces I saw. So thank you very much if you attended that. If you've become a member of our Patreon, thank you very much. It was so fucking good to see so many people there, get to quickly give mag and say hello or whatever before we play the show. But yes, patreon.com/sapnin, the best way to support us. Guess what? If you'd like us to stop doing this podcast, somebody just buy the IST here. Surely there's a millionaire that listens to us or has listened to this that hates us that could literally put an end to this right away by giving us the top tier for... Tell you what, if you do the top tier for 1 month, we'll come back in 2025.
That's a Shaun Smith guarantee. Check it out.
Guarantee.
At Sapnin Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. But without any further ado, let's get straight into this. This is the wonderful Roxanne Emery, a.k.a. Rory, on episode 267 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! I can't get over how much the book reminded me of my life.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sapnin! Oh, you two harmonized!
Hold on.
You harmonized!
We should be in a band.
You should definitely be in a band. That was unbelievable. Oh, that's the best intro we've had so far. We've done 264 of these. Oh, imagine we'd all done an accent harmony, a three-part. We got to work that out
that
for a future episode. Yeah.
That would have been great.
Well, we can try it now. I don't know.
Okay, who's counting us down?
Three... Two.
Oh, wait, no, stop. Are we going on one or going on zero? No, it's really...
One and then after one.
Right, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, Morg.
Three, two, one.
Sapnin. Oh, that was awful. Jesus.
Bad.
Let's cut that bit out, Morg, so nobody ever hears that bit. But leaving that we were just about to do it, and this bit explaining how bad it is as well. This week's guest is the fantastic social media superstar, musical superstar, and all-round lovely human, from what I've seen online. She could be lying online. The mighty Rory.
Woo!
Woo! Thanks for the very kind intro. Imagine if I am a total dick now.
Well, that'd be amazing. Like, that'd be fantastic for us. Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, please do. Please, yeah, start now.
Yeah, you can be, even if it's just for this, because then everyone be like, well, Rory's normally really nice, but she was really, really angry towards these two Welsh idiots. I don't know what that's about.
And then someone goes, have you seen a picture of those two Welsh idiots? And then they go, oh, no, I haven't. Have a look. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look at his hair. Terrible.
I love the hair. The hair's great.
Thank you.
It says I've arrived. Yeah. I'm here to rock.
Yeah, in a way, I think. I don't know. Yeah, could be.
Did you do it yourself?
That's going to really offend my expensive hairdresser. No, I didn't. In fact, I had a re-dyed blonde yesterday. So,
love it.
It's brittle at the moment. So that's fun.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's stop talking about me.
Sorry, yeah.
How are you? How's things in the Rory household at the moment?
So we're just getting ready for Christmas. I hate Christmas. It's the worst time of year for me for various childhood trauma reasons. But I now have two stepkids. So my whole life I've been able to just hate it and be like, bleh, a real like Scrooge. But when you got kids, you can't. So it's very interesting. Dynamic of like really leaning into it, making the house all Christmassy, having music on. And actually it's quite nice because you kind of realize that you can maybe let go of that story and, you know, move into something a little less depressing. It's really busy, just so much going on at work, like with music and then our ADHD stuff. And we were meant to like have December was meant to be quite quiet because it's been a really busy year and it hasn't worked out. Like we're still working. So we're hoping for a week off, like, you know, the dead days in between Christmas and New Year, hoping that we won't have to do anything then. But who knows?
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. That's my birthday. My birthday's on the dead days.
Is it? Oh, sorry. I'll just keep offending you. Dead days. Shit.
Yeah. You know, all the days twats were born on, you know, just after Christmas. Yeah, thanks, bro.
That's the thing in music and just being creative. There is no real days off. So we appreciate you taking the time for this and sorry for adding.
This is a total vibe.
I wanted to kind of start by just kind of reflecting on 2023 for you a little bit, because I feel this year is just being a huge one in terms of getting your name back into this musical world, and especially the alternative emo scene, and just connecting with this fan base. I mean, there has been so many highlights with kind of new music and collaborations and announcing tours, festivals and all this. It seems so exciting behind the scenes. How has the last 12 months just kind of been for you, just kind of mixing everything in and kind of the work behind it and announcing stuff?
I mean, fucking terrifying. Because I've been so used to music not going well. I'm very, very comfortable with failure because I've done that for 15 years. But I'm not very comfortable when things are starting to go well. And like my mindset is always, you're going to fuck it up. It's not going to work. They're all going to hate you. Your music's going to fuck up at download. It's very, very like uncomfortable, to be honest. I love it. I'm very grateful. It's like the only thing I ever wanted to do. I got a chance to do it again. I'm 39 now. And I sort of look at that and just think, this shouldn't be, I shouldn't be here. Like, this is crazy. But yeah, it's like, it's a lot. So, I try and have the mindset of like, just do it, just like run into it, see how far it can go. Keep writing from the place of like pain and sadness, which apparently is my thing. and that seems to connect with like a certain group of people. So yeah, just trying to not like get in my own way and fuck it up, which I've done every other time. So the odds are against me, but you never know. Maybe this time it'll be okay.
It will. It will. From what I've seen online, your growth over the last year or two years and onwards has been amazing. Like I see you everywhere. Like I said before this, I was previously talking to Mark, your manager, about trying to get the Blackout and Rory together for a tour, because I would have loved that. That would have been fantastic. But you've got your own tour, which is very, very exciting. Did you see Jelly Roll at the Country Music Awards lately? Like, he won Best New Artist at 39, and he did an amazing speech.
Yeah.
I think we're living in a time where, because of social media now, anybody can become a superstar. And there's no reason to doubt yourself, especially due to age.
Yep.
And especially if you're someone like yourself. I'm the same age. I'm 39 as well. But neither of us, I feel like, give off the energy of anyone.
It's anywhere near the hair. It's the crazy hair, like clinging onto you through a pair of scissors. I mean, I guess I've sort of made peace with the fact that, like, I'm going to find it quite difficult just because of, like, historical experiences, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think one thing I've really learned is that, you know, there's all this, like, bollocks out there, like, you've got to believe, you've got to love what you do. Actually, no, you don't. I hate what I do in certain moments. I'm, like, my own worst critic, but I'm aware of that. So I'm like, no, like, you have got bad taste at times, my friend. So we'll bench you. We're just going to put it out. We're just going to move forward. So it's like, you can actually move forward, put things out, make videos, even with like cripplingly low self-esteem. You just forge ahead and do it anyway. And it's actually the action that counts. One of the mega things for me that made me like, probably helped me like start this journey again. When I got sober in 2018, started songwriting, I sort of thought that was like the only option to me at that age. That's very much the typical industry thing for certain people, like too old to be an artist, so be a songwriter. So I was working for other people, had some great experiences. But one thing I noticed was when I'd work with artists, number one, I'd like secretly be a bit jealous and be like, oh, gutted, I wish I was doing that. Which is always a sign. I think when there's jealousy there, that's a little sign. Maybe there's something to walk towards. But I noticed that it wasn't the most talented people that were artists. I mean no disrespect, because they had so many other skills. What I noticed was they just had the fucking balls or ovaries to show up. I was like, man, if I could just cultivate a bit of confidence, that would change the game. And I did it, and it did. And it feels like a life hack. Like you don't have to be the most talented or the best, or you haven't got to have someone else discovering you. You can just go out and do it if you have the audacity to, I guess.
Yeah. That's one of the things I've been trying to teach my girlfriend lately, is rather than be overconfident, just not care what other people think. Like, one of my superpowers, one of the best things I ever learned early on when we started the band, mostly to not care what other people think or say. Literally, as long as we are having fun and enjoying ourselves, that's all that matters. And yes, yeah, it's a superpower, having that confidence to step forward and do the thing that you've always wanted to do. And then, yeah, as long as you have the confidence, you can push forward and create a whole new world for yourself.
But this is the thing I wanted, one of the things I wanted to touch on, especially with your musical journey. This time 2 years ago, you weren't even putting out any material or in that mindset. And I've seen you post online that you said you've had to make some big life changes to get to this point. After those songwriting sessions, was there a certain moment where you were like, right, I got an idea for this. I want to become an artist again. What were some of these changes? Can you just kind of give us an insight into that time and that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I registered the social media accounts for Rory in 2018. Although I didn't release my first single until 2021. But I did do a couple of features, sort of in melodic dubstep. It was quite a nice crossover, actually, but sort of like Illenium and that sort of world, that style. And I think the first thing I did in 2018 was come up with the name. It was to allow myself to dream of an artist name. And my real name is Roxanne Emery, so Rory is the first two and last two letters of that, which was my way of like cutting out the bullshit 10 years in the middle, is how I like to see it. And then I bought a wig off the internet, a half blue and half blonde wig, because at that time I was still sort of in active alcohol addiction. I had some massive struggles with like my body image and just like really trapped in self-hatred. So I couldn't imagine me as like Roxanne ever being an artist, because I just was so, I hated myself so much, you can't access it. So I sort of come up with this alias that was like a workaround, and I imagined, oh, if I was cool, if I was had confidence, what would I look like? And my brain sort of created, oh, blue hair, a name like this, like bought the wig off the internet, bought some cool clothes. And I'd wear it like in photo shoots when I first started posting very intrepidly. And over the couple of years, I was then getting sober, I was then getting therapy. Over that couple of years, it was mad. This person I'd created that was like so much cooler than me and confidence started to drip feed back down, you know, to the point that I dyed my actual hair half blue and I actually got like more tattoos. It was like, this person that I imagined who I could never be was actually who I was. I just needed to give myself permission. So it started with the name and the image, which was armor. It was like armor against all of the self-hatred, which is so mad. There's got to be some psychology in that. And then started doing a couple of feature records. Again, playing really small. I couldn't see myself as an artist in my own right. Just my thinking was so limited. And then I had like a little song I'd written alone. It was called Fuck Fame. I just played it on the piano and I thought, do you know what? I should just release it. Like the brand looks cool. I sort of feeling it. So I kind of got that produced, put it out. And then that began, like I couldn't have ever known or predicted the steps that was going to come after. Like going viral on TikTok and then doing a show and it selling out and then meeting an agent. Like I've really had luck on my side. Like I've shown up, I've done the work, but I've had a lot of luck on my side. So I think it's important to say as well, you can't predict for those factors and those doors opening.
Yeah. But if you don't make those first steps though, like that's the thing. It's like we've all kind of been in that situation kind of before where we were all like, am I worth it? Is this going to happen? But then if you don't make those steps, you can't get that luck that's out there to get, I guess, as well. So,
yep, got to be in it to win it. And I'm a massive control freak with music, actually, with a lot of things, working on that in therapy. But the controlling part is, I think, because I'm so scared to fuck it up or to lose it. So I try and over control. And actually a couple of experiences I've had have taught me, like, you can plan however much you want. Things are going to happen so far out of your control and you have to let go. You have to just be open to where it's going and sort of, you know, swim with the flow of the river rather than against it. So I really try and do that. I try and like let go ever so slightly and see, because you don't want to block something awesome that might happen because it's not written down on your exact plan of how you want it to go.
Yeah.
I find this so interesting with what you said about kind of embracing this Rory artist side of yourself, because I feel like for a lot of people, they see like the real them and then their stage person or their music person as like a character and there's kind of going in between the two. But from what you said, it kind of seems that like both sides of yourself have kind of merged into one on some aspects. Do you think that's a good representation? Like as this music has gone on and as you started writing, you've you found yourself as kind of having different sides to you?
Yeah, 100%. And it's really weird to reflect on, because when I first started doing TikTok, I would put on a wig and I would wear certain clothes. It was really like, I'm going to fancy dress as somebody cool that's a great songwriter. It's not me, because I'm a piece of shit. That was the vibe. And then over the last couple of years, it's just like blended. And this sort of the self-hatred person, the small thinking person, like they've got less room. And the person that's able to, yeah, just show up and write songs and that be okay and it not be filled with crippling shame, they're kind of like winning the fight. And I really like it, because it means that I feel, and it can be quite nerve-wracking. So I really felt it on tour, because when you like blend the two, you're like, fuck, this is me. This is 30, I was 38 at the time, 38-year-old me going, I haven't toured in like 15 years, singing all these songs that I've pitched up too high in the studio to get my voice to crack, and now I've got to do them live, like, fuck. But it brings something, it's really scary, but it brings something lovely, which is like a certain vulnerability and authenticity when you allow the real person through. I still armor up, I still like wear cooler clothes and I'll do my makeup a bit stronger just to like give that extra kick. But it definitely feels like the same person. My partner said to me, I think only last week, he was like, I think it's really good that the gap between Rory and Rux has closed, because it feels like it's more authentic and it's more real. So again, it's just testament to taking that first step, buying a wig off the internet and playing dress up led to sort of the birth of this artistic career. So yeah, it's been very, very fun and wonderful thing to experience.
It's so wild how the little things like that can just change perceptions for people. I mean, I'm kind of the same when I go out. Like, I feel like if I wear certain clothes, I feel like more of a confident person rather than what I'm just kind of lounging around the house or working in or anything. So yeah, it's mad how our brains work like that and how it can then just change so much for us.
Well, it changes how other people perceive you. So for me at this time, just, you know, before my first single, I was songwriting for other artists. So you would never be overdressed up. You would never wear something loud, because actually that's that person's space. So I was showing up very much fancy dress as a songwriter. Like, we're all fancy dressing as whatever or not, even if we don't realize it. So I was sort of showing up like that. Inside, this sort of burning desperation to be an artist again and to do that. But everybody around me, because of the way I presented and dressed and sat and was not that much confidence, nobody saw me as an artist or treated me. So if I like fumbled something out, or maybe I want to do something, they'd be like, yeah, great. The minute I dyed my hair and started wearing, you know, a little bit more bold, bright things, people started, oh, have you thought about an artist project? It was like mind-bending to see how other people's perception of me changed so much via a few changes that I made. And actually, that really speaks to confidence, because when somebody looks at you and sees an artist, it really helps you to see yourself that way. Which I mean, now it's a couple of years on now. So now I do feel that, like feel the embodiment of that. So I don't have to work so hard at it. But at that time, I had to force myself into that bigger lane. And it's quite uncomfortable, because it feels like being a bit of an attention seeker or showing off or all these things I've perhaps historically been a bit shamed for. But yeah, wild, wild experience. So buy a wig, basically, if you want to. If you want to do an artist career.
That's good advice to me.
That's good advice. Yeah, that's good advice in general. I mean, that's good advice in general.
Sean writing it down. You don't need one, I think.
Shave your head, Sean. For fuck's sake. Yeah, I get it.
But yeah. For me, my wig is a jacket. Like, if I'm out, especially festival season, wherever, you'll see me with fancy. It sounds stupid, but it makes me feel like a completely different person.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all got those things, yeah. Those little power moves that just give you a few extra points, a few extra XP.
I didn't think I would ever hear the sentence on this podcast. My wig is a jacket.
I love it. Hey, I love it.
We've said weirder sentences.
Yeah, next time I see you, I want to see you walking around with just like a big coat on your head. Just a big coat on your head. But
God, no. But you talked about that period of time writing for other artists and becoming like a co-songwriter and all this. I mean, you know, you've been in the industry for years on many different elements, whether it be with record labels or an artist or songwriter. How different has all of those experiences been? In a weird way, do you feel like you've had such a unique look at the industry because you've been separated from certain aspects, you've gone into different avenues, like you've kind of seen it all really, you've seen all different sides of it and how it works, what doesn't work, and the good and bad?
It's actually a really lovely way to look at it. And sometimes with music, you probably can tell, I sometimes lean towards being quite negative about my journey. But actually seeing it that way, it's very true, because I've been in and around music since I was 18, in dance music, and then I had my own sort of folk pop project. And then I've done songwriting for pop, for dance, for rock acts. I've been signed to a label. It's all kinds of different things. And actually, a lot of what I do now is inspired by those life lessons, by things that I have learned along the way. Like I work for someone in dance music that was really incredible at selling out shows. And when I do my shows, I take that formula and I do that. And I've worked with artists who have been trapped in by major label deals on 80-20 deals, 80% to the major label. So it's always been in the back of my mind to find a distribution deal, stay independent. Like all those things along the way, it's like it's given you the book, a little bit of the book of how to do it. Of course, doing it yourself, there's always new lessons, new humbling moments happening all the time. But I don't think I could have done it this way. Like it does feel like it's been quite quick from first single to where I am now. And that's the reason. It's later and it's built on the top of, I sometimes call them failures, but really they're just chapters, they're lessons, aren't they? Building up to something that's built on the top of them. So yeah, it's a nice way to look at it.
Is there any lessons in particular that make you really stand out when you have a second to be like, that was a kind of mad experience, or on the good and the bad, just being like, I can't believe we got to do this, but also being like, oh, but that thing was a bit...
Oh, a few. So one is to never sell out the art for a hit single. I've been part of hit singles, and I'm not saying those people sold out at all, but for me personally, I can write pop songs. And there's always a draw. There's always a draw to, oh, do that. That chorus could go viral on TikTok. That could be the next ABCD. There's always a voice in my head that says this could be the easy way. This could be the viral hook. And because of like age and because I've been part of it and I've seen it, there's this other voice that says no. Cause would you want to be known for that song? I won't like name any names because it was told personally, but there's someone that I work with, unbelievable, like singer-songwriter and artist, and they had a massive hit song, and I'd always been like, whoa, they're like it, they've done it. And I worked with them and they were like, I hate that song because it's not me. It's the song at gigs everyone waits for. They're quiet until I sing that song. And this is like a billion streaming song. So I'm like, take the fucking note. Take the note. Like, obviously, tastes change and there's stuff you aren't always going to love. But are you doing it from inside the core of you? Like, this is my story and my truth? Or is it like, this could be a quick win and I will not do the quick win? So that's a big one. I really love having that because I think it protects you and hopefully helps with kind of longevity. Another one is... you don't have to do everything yourself. I think there's a lot of creative people that feel for some reason they need to prove themselves. And I had that. I had that when I was a bit younger. I need to play guitar on stage. I need to be producing the songs. I need to write all the songs. And actually, when I went back to it, I was like, I'm not good enough and I'm too old to get good enough. So Charlie, can you come play guitar? And my mates, Kingdoms, can you produce? Like I have a team of unreal people that like create this with me. My job is the songwriter and the social media person. And that I've seen people force themselves to do everything themselves. And then like either burn out or not unlock that next level because they're trying to prove something. And I had to give up that. Like, I ain't going to be playing guitar live. Sorry. Cause I'm looked down. I'm going to like, I think it's the hack is like, just make it easy for yourself.
Yes.
You don't have to prove anything. So even what I said earlier about, I put my songs up so high in the studio because I never thought I'd be singing them live.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm in rehearsal, I'm like fucking out. And the first show I ever did, I blew out my vocals.
Ooh.
One show, I blew them out on one show. I couldn't speak for 2 weeks. So obviously then I went on tour this year and I was like, how do I stop this from happening? So I just said, put them down. Half a semitone, I'm just going to make it easy. Put them down to where it's well easy to sing. And I did. Still blew out my vocals before London, but we made it almost to the end of the... Yeah, so don't sell out and make it easy. That's the two bits.
Nice.
Yeah, no, nice. That is good advice. And it leads me on to really talking about your music in particular, because one thing I've always admired is just how honest these lyrics and these songs are. I feel with a lot of bands sometimes, you know, I'm a big fan of artists who you can interpret the lyrics however you want. And there's like, could be about this, could be about that or whatever. But listening to you, you automatically know what you're trying to say. It's like if you're not afraid to step away from sugarcoating it and everything, you're just telling people what's going on, your feelings, your thoughts, and what these songs are about. How refreshing and how scary is that sometimes, putting it all on the line, but then seeing people actually resonate with it and have those kind of same experiences and being able to help them?
So it sort of began as things that I couldn't say in songwriting sessions. And sometimes I wrote songs to pitch for other people and the feedback from A&R guys would be too specific, too dark, too sad. And I kind of learned there's a way to write an open song and a pop song and, or even a rock song that can be open too. It's just being a bit less specific. But it was all the lyrics that everybody hated and didn't belong and could never be sung by anyone else. I was like, cool, that's an artist project. Then it's not a rejection. I just didn't have one at the time. So it felt like a rejection. But I think I've been in music for so long. I don't know how long I'm going to be doing it for. I need to say what I need to say. It needs to be my truth and it needs to be hard hitting. Music is what I've always used to self-regulate emotions. If I feel something horrendous, I come up to this room, get the guitar or load up a YouTube beat and write. That's where so many of the songs that are out have come from, just in this room, feeling sad, writing a chorus. And it's been incredibly like empowering because it was the lyrics and the themes that have been like rejected so many times to think, oh, fuck it, I'll sing it on TikTok. And then suddenly there's all these people. And especially the topics, addiction and suicide, self-harm. And it's out there. There's no like lack of interpretation. Like I'm telling you exactly what's happening. In terms of it being scary, it wasn't scary at first because I was talking about my first EP, Good Die Young, was really like historical stuff. The music I would have written over the last 10 years had I not been fucking myself up with drugs and alcohol. So I wasn't in it at the moment. I was writing about my mum's death, but it was 15 years ago. I was writing about getting sober, but it was 4 years ago. The scary one for me has been this EP and this record. because it's about my journey with my dad and going no contact with my dad for this year. And that, the emotional sort of torture and freedom and reflection that has come in that space. And yeah, like there's one song, it's like the sort of acoustic song on an EP called The Apology I'll Never Receive. It's what I would want my dad to say to me. I know I'll never get it, but what I would want. And it tore me apart, like had to leave the studio, couldn't record it. Was crying on the video shoot, like just it's so like on it. And then it had a viral moment on TikTok, and then I was scared because I don't know whether he keeps tabs on me or not, but it scared the shit out of me because he could watch that, and it's like so vulnerable and it's so desperate. And I've always been quite hard with my dad because we don't do emotion. He's from the valleys. He's a Welsh boy.
Oh, what? So that's why we get it. Okay.
Yeah, so I am half Welsh. I haven't got the accent, but...
And, you luckily know, for you.
No, I love it. I'd love to have it.
No, you wouldn't.
But yeah, he had a really hard life. So there are reasons to the way that he is how he is, but... It's like I can be compassionate, but also I have to like honor my own pain because I never have until recently. And that has scared me shitless. There's been quite negative comments about me in the family. And quite recently, I think he called my partner and sort of made a threatening statement about me. So it's been hard because it's like, right, it's right out there. But
yeah.
In the same token, like it's my personal experience of like, I'm going to do it anyway. Like this, the person I'm probably most scared of and who I'm most desperate to love me is going to hate this. And I'm going to do it anyway. And I think there's so many kids, young adults that relate that have either no contact or potentially emotionally abusive relationships with their parents. And it's not a subject that's spoken about so much because it is scary, because it comes with so much shame. And I can only do it because I've got an unreal partner. I've got 5 years sobriety under my belt. I'm 3 years in therapy dealing with all this stuff. So it's a really privileged position to be able to talk about parental dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's amazing that you're doing it as well, though. So for everybody who's been through stuff like that and has been helped by your music, I have to say thank you on behalf of those people because, yeah, there's so many people. Like you said youngsters or whatever, and young adult. I don't even think it's limited to that. I think it's limited to anybody who's gone through any shit like that as well. So, yeah, it's amazing that you've written that song and you've put it out. And, yeah, the vulnerability you show on that song is unbelievable. So, yeah. Thank you very much for it. We genuinely, genuinely appreciate it because that's it. If you don't do it, who will? This is the thing. Like, we never know when this stuff is going to come out. Like, people need this stuff.
No, that means a lot because it's still very current. It's still very deep and scary. And, you know, even the thought of going on tour and, you know, I think going on tour, you'd always expect a family member to be there. And I won't have that. My mum passed away. My dad doesn't speak to me. So like when I go on stage and sing, particularly this EP, it's all about the loss of that relationship. Like, and there's a few hundred people crying in the audience, singing it back does something really special because it shows all of us, me included, because I'm a blubberer on stage, certain songs, I'll start crying, say sorry, that you're not alone. Because that particular emotion, being estranged from a parent, the kid always feels like it's their fault. You always feel like you're bad human. You don't want to show up. You don't want to speak about it because that's almost been stolen. Your own voice has been stolen from you. So to like put it back and have this like choir of traumatized emos singing about this, it does something. It feels for me almost like a bit spiritual. To have that much emotion, that many people like feeling it together. So yeah, it's a oh, it's just brilliant, really. Feel very lucky to get to do that.
There's one thing having them sing back lyrics that are just fun and goofy and you've made up, but them singing back lyrics that you maybe didn't think they would sing back because of how personal and deep and really out there it is. Yeah, that's a whole other world. Is there being any lyrics in particular that people have sung back, that people have had tattooed or people have messaged you about, that you've kind of been like, whoa, those are the lyrics that you've connected to?
Yeah, it's a song from my first EP. It's called Jesus and John Lennon. It's a song about my mum dying. And it's literally just like, it's the first lyric is, the first time I sung was your funeral. And it tells the story of me singing at my mum's funeral and being told I wasn't allowed. It's the whole vibe. But it's so specific. And I was like, I'm going to put it on for me. It's really important for me. And then I did it live and it was, everybody was, you can't really scream it because it's a bit slow, but they're all like singing it impassioned. And there's a lot of Jesus and John Lennon tattoos for people that have lost parents. And it's mind blowing because it's, I always have this experience of like, it's just me. Like I write from a really selfish place. Like I can't deal with this emotion. Blech, here it is, word vomited to a sad guitar song. It's always only for me. And then other people hear it and it's like, oh fuck yeah. Other people's parents have died of cancer. Other people are estranged. Other people have been abused. We're all so like insular in our own bubble. It's so strange how something so specific and personal is the reason for connection. It's just, it's wild, but it's, I really try and hold on to that, that actually the more real it is, the more, at least for the people that listen to my music, that's what they want. They want the truth. So.
Yeah. No. Well, thank you for sharing all that because yeah, as we've said, it's just refreshing when things like this that can connect with people in a completely different way. And speaking of resonating with people and being that kind of voice for them a lot, I did really want to talk about ADHD Love that you and your partner do as well, because I mean, yeah, that has had huge success, but I have this someone in my life who's recently coming to deal with the fact that they are of that mindset and stuff as well, and dealing with some of those things. And they've said that the tone of your videos and the way that you explain things for how their brain would work has really helped them in a lot of different ways. Can you just talk about this whole side to everything and that being another point of contact for people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the ones that just could not have planned it, could not have controlled it on my little mood board. It came out of nowhere. I got diagnosed 2 years ago and was watching a lot of ADHD TikTok. It's just what you do. It's like you get diagnosed and you just absorb everything, get obsessed by it because it finally gives you an explanation for some often like very quite shame-filled experiences. Because with ADHD, it's very common to struggle with personal hygiene or cleaning your own space or losing things or finances. So it's very often people that are really struggling secretly, feeling like it's their fault. Anyway, so one night I'm like, something funny happens with me and my partner. Sorry to be graphic, but it was basically he was checking that I'd remembered to put a tampon in, because sometimes I don't. So he was like, babe, just checking, reminding you that it's time of the month. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm all good. And he was like, yeah, but is it one that you've rolled yourself? Or is it a real one? Because I had a habit of rolling my own tampons when I'd run out. You're learning a lot here. I can see by your faces. This lady is rolling her own tampons. Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that. That's a new one. Thank you.
With toilet roll. Sort of like you're sort of rolling a spliff and then you just fold it in half and then, yeah.
Yeah. I know the other, yeah.
Yes. That's going on. And then I was like, that is such a funny moment. Like, I bet you there's other ADHD females or people that have periods that will resonate. And he was like, okay, cool. I was like, let's put it as TikTok. He was like, yeah, cool, we'll do it tomorrow. This was 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, let's do it now. ADHD. So we joined TikTok 12 o'clock at night, do this video of me and my tampon, and it goes viral. And then we just made another one, and then we just made another one. And, you know, that's over the last 2 years. I think it's now about 2.5 million followers, like, across platform. And it's so different. It's so funny, right? Because I've had this whole journey of Rory of, like, how to be cool, how to be confident, how to wear this wig. And then I show up talking about that I fucking roll my own tampons. And that's what goes fucking viral. Like, are you kidding me, mate? But it's wonderful because it just helps people. Like, we meet people on the street all the time. And although we make sort of comedy content, people always start crying. And it's just, I understand myself. I see myself in the videos. I've realized I've had it because of you. Or you just realize that, man, social media can actually be really, like, good and really powerful to reach people. And just on a personal level, it's become so important. It's like, music was this thing I was always so desperate for. Like, if I don't get it, I'm a shit person. I think I used music to try and fill a bit of a hole in my soul. Probably something to do with my dad. I'll be talking about that on Thursday. But there was a desperation behind it, a need. And if I don't get it, I'll never be happy, which is a little bit unhealthy. And what ADHD Love has done is it's just given me this, like, job that I love, that's funny, that I do with my partner. We write books. We've made an app. Like, it's so busy and it's so fun, and we're very lucky to make enough money from it that he does it full time. He's at home with me doing it. So music has become a hobby that I'm obsessed with and I love. But I don't need it as much, if that makes sense. And funnily enough, that's almost given more freedom to just enjoy it. So yeah, Met just crazy. Can't plan for the tampon story going viral.
Unbelievable.
But here we are.
But that's the thing as well, with you having those two sides of you out there in the universe, I think it complements each other, because you can know when to turn one off and go and be creative with something else. I mean, you can, it's not constantly 24/7 thinking about music or 24/7 thinking about how can I create something that connects with people from what they're dealing with. You have both as an escape as really serious things.
Well, they're an escape from each other.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't like being told what to do, neither in music or ADHD Love. So if I've got work to do from ADHD Love, you'll probably find me up writing a song. And yeah. Then if I'm meant to be finishing a song, I'll be like, let's do a video. So I get to, like, avoid work via the means of other work. Life hack for ADHD people. Just have two jobs.
Yeah.
Hello. Switch between the two.
This is literally, yeah, that's literally my life. Yeah. Technically four jobs at the moment.
Four jobs.
I will. Oh, it's all for, yeah, it's all for.
Yeah, but it keeps you entertained, yeah. Right? And you get to choose.
That's yeah. One word. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Entertained. Yeah.
Until we have a deadline or something's coming up. And then I go, oh, fuck. Yeah. I tell you what I should do. Oh, I got podcast stuff to do. Okay. Why don't I look into all of the band's finances I manage all of a sudden?
Wow.
What the fuck? Is that got to do with anything? What the So, yeah, actually, your content has made me realize, like, I haven't been diagnosed yet, but literally everything points to me having ADHD or whatever. The other day, I used one of your videos to explain to my girlfriend why I get mad when I'm on my phone for a while, and then she bursts in and makes me want to do something. Like, she's like, right, we got to do that. And I'm like, ah!
Yep.
Sorry about that. But yeah, the hyper-focus, yeah. So
hyper-focus rage. It's so real, and it's really important to talk about, because it can, if you feel anger, obviously it's not, don't shout at anyone or that's not okay, but the feeling of anger is fine. It's actually very human, but it's been so, like, demonized. And I think people can end up feeling a lot of shame and confusion, whereas actually it's really, really normal. When somebody with ADHD is hyper-focusing, it's like life or death. I was speaking to my partner the other day, trying to explain it. And I was like, look, it would be like, if you were playing golf, right? You wouldn't want me tapping going, what do you want for dinner? And he went, oh, no, I wouldn't mind. As long as I wasn't mid-swing, then I would be really mad. And I was like, cool. How you feel when you're just mid-swing, that's me for 3 hours when I'm in high
school. That's perfect.
Like, it's obsessional. It's totally connected. And he was like, oh, yep. That really helps. So, yeah, it's cool. But I'm glad that you're on that journey. Even, you know, it depends if you want it for you. You don't even have to get diagnosed if you don't want it. Loads of the things that help is just learning about it, learning hacks, tricks, a bit of self-acceptance, learning the language of hyperfocus. That just unlocks a lot of freedom and acceptance and better communication in relationships. So even just knowing that can be enough.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to ask, because the whole process of being diagnosed as well can be quite scary for people. I'm sure there's people listening to this who've thought, oh, you know, there's certain elements of it, thinks that maybe that it would explain a lot. Maybe they should get diagnosed, or, you know, they're too scared or anything like that. You just said you don't really need it. It's more learning about these subjects and these things and how we can deal with them and what we're doing. Is there any advice you'd give for someone like that who is maybe on the fence about everything, kind of realizing some stuff, but just want to learn more about them, but are too scared maybe to take a step publicly?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did go the diagnosis route, and I think it was important for me because I was so deep in the self-blame and the self-hatred that it was like a life raft, like I could grab onto these four letters that somebody's made and put together and be like, it's that, it's not me, it's that. So like I needed it. I think looking back now I've gone on that journey and because of my sobriety, I don't take meds because a lot of the meds are in the stimulant category. So it's just I just need to stay away from anything like that for my own sake. So I've had to kind of find a way to just work with it. And actually, you know, been in therapy a long time. We do it. I talk about it, a full-time job, read every book, listen to every podcast. The biggest difference is really is self-acceptance and self, and like, it's okay. Like, it's okay that you might lose something or forget or not be able to focus when you're meant to. It's okay. Do you need some help? Do you need some support? Having that conversation on the table, so much ADHD, you know, the doctor side of ADHD is like how to change, how to be more organized, how to be more on time, how to never lose things again. It doesn't work. I've tried to make myself like a normal human my whole life. It doesn't work. Life is so much happier when you just accept all of your wonkiness. Whether it's ADHD, we've all got our stuff. We've all got our funny difficulties, mannerisms, things we're ashamed of. Just like bring it all to the people that are safe and you care about. And that's really where the life-changing magic is.
Nice. Thank you.
And on top of that, you do have a book out called Dirty Laundry that is really just a kind of accepting who you are with these kinds of things as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was, we had all these followers. There's only so much you can say in a 30-second reel.
Yeah, that's the thing.
there was so much more because we almost broke up because of ADHD, but for various reasons, me being a messy fucker is one. But also, I really struggled. A part of ADHD, it's part of my story, but like I just get bored, like I hyper focus on people, and then I'm bored after a year, then I need another one. And I've had this pattern of like collecting. It's horrendous. I'm not proud of it at all. And it's something that I really worked on. But when I got that ADHD lens, I was like, ah, I understand. I'm gonna be like I love buying new things. It's like the same sort of thing. And when I knew that and we worked on our communication and all that, it saved our relationship. And we're, you know, 4 years in, we're like happier than ever. So we really wanted to speak to people about how we saved our relationship. And that's all in there. It's very like, it's why it's called Dirty Laundry, because it really is airing the dirty laundry as well as me not ever doing washing. So I'm glad we're on Zoom because...
Yeah, I'm going to buy off my partner right now.
Oh, I love it. I'll send you one. If you drop me your address, no, and I'll send you one.
No, I will buy it. I will buy it after this fact. I promise you. I will send you a photo after this of me buying it.
He's going to send you the receipt and everything.
Because, I could do with that. Yeah, I could do with that because if I have to use what are these pants doing over here again, I'm going to go mad. So,
there's an audiobook as well, if it's easier. Some people prefer audiobook. But yeah, we've had a lot of couples say it's helped them to sort of navigate. And it's both. It's the ADHD person being honest about the struggles and also making an effort when they can, trying their best. And then it's often the non-ADHD, just like understanding and supporting. Like it just makes such a mega difference when you both come to each other with support and understanding rather than criticism. It's like game changer.
Yeah. as we start to wind down on this conversation a little bit, I mean, we've talked so much about just the mad reactions and really being embraced in this emo community that you have with Rory now. But are there any moments so far with this project that you've had to kind of really step back and be like, how the hell is this happening? Or something that's just really meant a lot to you with the fact that this has only been going on for 2 years now?
Yes, probably two moments. One was my first gig last August, Camden Assembly, and it sold out and I had an agent there, wonderful agent called Jess that works at One Phoenix. And, you know, this having an agent, I never had an agent even back when I'd done music in my 20s. That was never on my radar. And she came to my first gig and then I had a Zoom the next day with her. And another amazing agent called Emma that works for the same company. And they sort of went, you know, we haven't seen an audience connection like that for quite some time. We obviously know that you're older, you're 38. But if we sort of think if you were a guy, we probably wouldn't even ask or know how old you are. So we don't care. We'd love to work with you. And I got off that Zoom and it was like, yes. Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was like a real achievement that although that was only a 5-minute Zoom, it was built on the back of the sobriety choices, the buying the wig, the doing the first single, all this shit you have to walk through and trust and push yourself. So that was a real moment of just, I can't believe, sounds so strange, but I never ever thought I'd be in that. The winners category, the category where it works out, because I've lived my whole life in the other category. And then the other one was tour this year. It just blew my mind. Every show was sold out. Everyone knew all the words to all the songs. And I couldn't believe it. It was like living in a parallel universe where life had gone well. I couldn't believe it. And I think London in particular, I'd lost my voice before London, the night before at Manchester, because I'd gone too hard at Manchester because it was crazy. And I felt it happen on stage and I was like, you stupid fuck. And then I was doing London, and at that time it was my biggest, it was 800 people. So it was the biggest crowd I'd ever been playing to. And I had to go and bosh a load of steroids. I went to see a rock doc because I thought I was going to have to cancel. Yeah, I had thought I was going to have to cancel the show. And then my tour manager was like, I know someone that might help. And I went and basically they're like, as a doctor, I should tell you not to sing. But as a touring doctor, take these 2 hours before stage and you'll be able to sing. So I went from like not being able to talk at all to getting my voice back. It's not healthy. You're not meant to use it a lot. It's like an emergency situation. So like going on stage in London, biggest crowd, having thought I might have to cancel on steroids. That was wild. So coming off stage, getting through that, I just broke down in tears. It was like, oh my gosh.
I love the idea of you losing your voice and then you couldn't speak and then you take these steroids and you could only sing at the top of your voice.
Oh no! Well, you get about, she was like, sing at like 70%. Because what happens is your vocal cords like swell to protect themselves from damage. steroids reduce the swelling. So it's the swelling that gives you the, because your vocal cords aren't closing. So it reduces the swelling. But if you then get overexcited and blast it, there's no protection. So you can actually like do, you can scar them, you can rupture them. So I was doing London at 70%. So even that, I felt a bit shit. But I don't think anybody knew. It's so funny what goes on in your own body and mind, but the audience, I think, had a nice time. So yes, yeah, just wild.
Yeah. Well, when you think back about it, I've been the same. Like I've been on stage and I've given a performance and I've been like, that wasn't all I could give. But then what you've got to remember is how many times have you been in the crowd, right? And some of the best moments of the gig are when the vocalist's voice isn't exactly like the record. Like, you want that more live. You want that, I'm sure now, this is the moment, yeah, this is happening. The amount of people who would prefer things like that than, you know, you sounding exactly like the record for an hour is...
Well,
yeah, it's...
I think it was Paramore. I think it was Reading and Leeds. I think it was Reading when like the sound went out on main stage.
Yeah.
And they sat down at the front and played The Only Exception acoustic. And that is, I wasn't there, but I've watched it back, even watching it back. The emotion, the magic that you feel, it's just a reminder that we actually love imperfection so much because it's unplanned and it's magic and it's where the spirit lives. So like, that's also nice. Like if something goes wrong and you're struggling, just like be in it and let that be part of the humanity of the whole thing. So yeah, I mean, I probably wasn't feeling that just before London, but looking back, I can be like, it was a vibe. Like we did it. And yeah, going on tour, I'm playing Electric Ballroom next February. And that's a bit of, and Download and Slam Dunk, that's a fuck moment. I never thought I'd play a festival. It doesn't make sense in my head, but I still can't wait.
More to come. Very much more to come.
2024 with that tour, Download and Slam Dunk, is just going to be a hell of a start to the year, hell of a first few months. So I'm sure it's super exciting to look forward to as well, to know that you get to tick those things off the bucket list.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always, to be honest, my goal was to do music, to tour, to have an audience. I've kind of ticked it all off already because it wasn't a grand goal. I just wanted to do, I just wanted to sing a gig, sing a song, have people sing back. I've done it. So it's like everything else is like, it's a bonus. It's an unbelievable bonus. I'm very grateful. Not everyone gets a second chance. So I'm going to just try and not get in my own way and enjoy it.
And we can't wait to see what happens next and just this huge journey that you're already on. Yeah, again, super appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I think this has been so nice to just dive into a lot of different thoughts, feelings and looks of the industry and everything. And yeah, we will see you on this tour and we will definitely see you at festival season. So expect more chaos from us too, and kind of sorry about that at the same time. Yeah,
apologies.
Absolutely, the chaos is so welcome. Thank you just for such a wonderful chat. Absolutely have loved it to both of you. So big love and thank you for having me on the podcast.
Cool, thank you very much. No, thank you for the music, thank you for the inspiration, thank you for the videos, thank you for the insight. You are helping more people than you know. Literally. I promise you. Yeah. There's thousands of people out there who haven't even contacted you yet, right? Who love you or are being helped by you every day. So keep that in mind. Like,
it's too nice.
Yeah,
it's too nice.
Also, yeah, too scary. Leave it. No, I didn't need to know that. Apologies. But yes, no,
Thank you. You're
fantastic. And I cannot wait to keep watching you grow. And yes, we will see you in Download and Slam Dunk later this year. So, yes.
See you there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yes, woo! That was the amazing Rory. It does feel strange. I know she does have two names, but it does feel weird just saying Rory.
Yeah, well, it's like Seal or Sia.
Seaman, if people just call David Seaman. It's just words beginning with C. It's like the only things you can think of. It's like Sigrid. It's another one. Hey! I literally bought her book and yeah, it made so much sense to my life. Check it out. It's called Dirty Laundry. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and Rory's going to be touring all across the UK at the end of February and March playing this emo pop punk emotional music, starting on Monday the 26th in Bristol. That's a February, heading then to Cardiff, London, Norwich, Nottingham, Manchester, Glasgow, Newcastle, Birmingham, and ending in Brighton on Monday the 11th of March. Tickets are available now, or you can go and check out all the dates, venues, and everything else in between it. It's Rory.com. Actually, it's Rory.com. Just go to social media, it's all there and stuff, but we'll definitely be seeing them hopefully at one of those tour dates, but if not, at Slam Dunk Festival and Download in the summer, which we just can't wait. It's going to be a very, very exciting time. And yeah, 2024 off to a hell of a start already, and we just appreciate her being so honest with us during this conversation. I did think, listening back, I wonder if she's connected or has ever spoken to Jesse from Dream State, because I think there's a lot of parallels between some of the things that they were worried about, especially maybe starting a new chapter of their career so later on. So it'd be interesting for that, for maybe them two to meet at some point. But it's just great that we've got these people trying different things in the scene and proving to everyone that age is only a number in these kind of elements. And
yes, I concur.
And you know, it's never too late to start anything. If you want to be a rock and roll star, fucking go for it.
Don't do that. That'll take away my potential chance of being a rock and roll star. Hey everyone, if you're thinking about being in a band, don't, because I want to do it. And I don't think any of you should be taking my place, so thank you very much. But no, like Morgan said, it was an inspiring chat. Anything is possible. Well, I say anything. You can't fly. You cannot fly.
I've tried that once and it didn't go well.
Yeah, nobody try and fly. You can do most things. Look, let's scale it down. I know it's new year, new us. Let's try and be more positive. But the old Sean's literally kicking in. Let's scale it down a bit. You can do most things. You can do most things if you put your mind to it.
My favorite New Year's meme is the photo of Sting, where the wrestler Sting takes the mask off, and it's the exactly same mask of Sting. So yeah, that's it, up here.
New Year, same me.
New
Year, same me. Slightly older.
What is there anything we want to try in 2024 for this podcast, or Is there anything the listeners want us to try and do more of in 2024?
I'd like to own a house, potentially. That would be nice for 2024. I don't know if that's going to come via the... But very unlikely it's going to come via the podcast, unless a millionaire comes in and gives us that fucking top tier straight away, and then we quit for the rest of the year.
Yeah, or if some mad streaming service wants to buy us out. I doubt they do, but, you know, if anyone...
That's true,
does,
yeah.
Production company,
yeah,
anything.
I can... Yeah, if Spotify's listening, I can spurt out right-wing absolute bollocks like Joe Rogan does every now and again. So get in touch with me. I can do... Do you know what? 50 mil. 50 mil, me and Morgan will do it for. We don't even need the 100 mil of Joe Rogan ad.
Nah,
so, yeah.
Not like really.
50 mil, and I will believe absolute lies from thick shits.
Nice. There we
good
are.
Good end. Nearly a good end.
Let us know what things you'd like us to try in 2024. Or just some guests you'd like to hear on this podcast this year at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. And of course, please go and support us via our Patreon page at patreon.com/Sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, I just realised something else that's going to happen in 2024. We are going to find out about aliens and UFOs. I almost guarantee it. That's a Sean Smith guarantee, which by December 31st, 2024, if we don't know about alien existence or the fact that we own alien technology, I will chop off my hands. So you heard that here first. That is a Sean Smith guarantee, but also, I hope you forget that, just in case it doesn't happen, because I'm going to need my hands going forward into 2025, I think. But yes, as Morgan said, our Patreon is the main way to support us. It's literally what keeps us going, so we have to thank the top tiers, and they are as follows. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Mayumi, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Scarlett Charton, Dilly Califragilistic, Expella Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Kelly Irwin, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pemberton, Jonathan Gutierrez, who I met in the flesh the other day, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Oredia, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, Sean Foynes, M. Evans-Roberts, Evan, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Kalila Keane, Josh, no joke this week, still knackered from the blackout crisp. That's what I like to hear. Thank you very much, Vicky, Kyle, Bounty, Chocolate Van, David Smith, and last by no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to those people and anyone who's ever signed up for our Patreon. If you're thinking about signing up for our Patreon, in the words of Nike, fucking go on, man!
That's exactly what they say as well. So please go and do it.
I just saw a t-shirt idea. Fucking go on, man! In the Nike font. Let's get it fucking knocked up.
Hey. Yeah. No, look, we're here for it. We're here. We're still here. None of us can still believe that this is going on. So just help us out in it. Patreon.com/Sapnin.
Please.
But thank you for everyone for listening and continuing to support us. It absolutely means the world. And we'll be back next and every week with another very special guest, some laughs, and some chaos in between.
Yes, thank you very much. If you're still listening to this right now, I don't think you are, but I appreciate you very, very much. 267 episodes in a row. Fucking hell. Fair play. Fair play. I can't believe you've got this far. Well done, Morgan. You've done very, very well.
Well, thank you very much, and well done you for...
That's all right. We have both sounded like we were dying lately as well. So maybe.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if one of us actually dies live on the podcast one day.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, yeah, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a bad year for me. So you never know.
Oh, no. Oh.
Towards the end of this year. So anyway, let's...
Hey, Sapnin!
Manifesting! Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.